And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you here from the eastern plains of Nebraska as we celebrate a family camp. And Dave Binner out here having family camp with us. And we're having a great time, but again, we're going to be chronicling the demise of Western civilization from a safe distance. A safe distance from the decline of Western civilization. The breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. Things breaking down to the point where, friends, it's just irrational out there. I mean, you're not going to keep an empire together the way we're doing it in Washington, D.C., and you're not going to get an empire defended and protected by the first lesbian general ever to serve as a general of any army in the history of the world, as far as I know. Dave, I don't know. Are you up to speed today on your lesbian generals? Or is this the first one, Dave? I don't know. Are we setting a record? The first lesbian general, Tammy. Tammy. So how does that work for you? Tammy. Tammy. General Tammy. Doesn't sound like Douglas MacArthur.
No, it doesn't sound like George Patton either. I'm sorry, I don't know if this is the first one or not, Kevin. I really have not kept up on my lesbian trivia games. Don't have the Trivial Pursuit lesbian version at home. There's something so very wrong about just saying this, isn't there?
Something wrong about General Tammy on several levels. I mean, you know, General Tammy, she's a lesbian. She's going to defend the United States of America from enemies, foreign and domestic. Ay, 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 ay. Dave, I mean, this is bad news for the nation. This is bad news for the nation on a number of different fronts. Number one, Dave, I mean, this open homosexual issue is something that the Persian armies had to deal with. Persian armies went up against the Greeks. I would think it was several hundred thousand against a couple of 15,000-20,000, and they were slaughtered by the Greeks because they brought their paramours to battle with them. Bad idea. Really bad idea. And friends, I mean, we're just talking from a practical point of view, and I'm not from a scriptural point of view, obviously. Scripturally speaking, when a nation or an empire has turned, it's the point where you have unnatural relations between men and men and women, according to Romans chapter 1, you're looking at God giving them up to his own judgment. That in and of itself is an indication of God's judgment. I mean, granted, on one hand, it is a sin against God, at least if you take passages like Leviticus 20 seriously, but beyond that, it is the judgment of God against the nation when he gives them up to unnatural passions, as Paul speaks of to the Romans, who, by the way, did have some unnatural passions going on in that nation as well. But Dave, I mean, in the New Testament era, God winks at some of this Old Testament sin, but according to Paul, in Acts chapter 7, he commands all nations everywhere to repent because judgment is something he holds these nations to.
Yeah, there's sometimes a confusion about how God imposes his law on foreign nations, on nations that don't recognize him as the God of the universe. And Paul says he wants all nations to repent towards this God of the universe. Psalm 117 says, worship all you Gentiles, praise him, all you nations. So the Bible is very clear. Just because you don't acknowledge Yahweh, Jehovah, the triune God, as God, it doesn't mean God does not obligate you to worship him and to acknowledge that he is, in fact, the creator and the sustainer and the lawgiver.
Dave, I wonder if the American Forces Network have talk shows like ours. Just kind of curious. I wonder if there is anybody on American Forces networks around the United States and around the world complaining about the first lesbian general to run the United States Army. I'm guessing probably not. I'm guessing there's probably very, very few American talk shows going up against one of the most severe abominations and one of the most important corrosive effects on a society that a organization or a person could ever bring to bear, and that is homosexuality. Friends, it's corrosive. It destroys human sexuality, destroys human society, and it's corrosive to a civilization, and it's never lasted very long.
Well, Kevin, obviously the question is there is nobody like us, Unarmed Forces Radio, because as soon as there was, they would understand that it was breeding some kind of dishonor of the leadership, because we're talking about a general here who's in violation of God's law. You can't criticize the generals. You can't criticize the chain of command. But maybe perhaps we could just cater a few lunches with Chick-fil-A. Maybe that would make the point.
Yeah. Maybe so. But Dave, I think we need to raise the standard up. And it's hard for us to bring this out again and again and again. People say, well, why do you spend so much time dealing with it? Because it's our country. Because we live here. Because it's the environment in which we operate. It's impossible for us to separate ourselves from the world if we can't comment on what's going on in the world around us. And if we are part of this society, friends, then we're going to be subject to the same judgment this nation receives. And I think it's time, from time to time, for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to look around and say, hey, maybe God's going to judge this nation because of the sin of this nation. And we may take on some of the fractures, some of the fragments that come out of this judgment.
Kevin, one way that we look at it is a metaphor we often use is you're in the school bus. You're in the bus, the Greyhound bus going down the road. And you may not be the driver. You may not be directing and turning it around the turns. But when that bus crashes, everybody in that bus crashes. When this nation is judged, everybody in this nation is judged. We'll be judged. The church will be judged. Our children will be judged. Our grandchildren will be judged. Are we concerned about it? You bet we're concerned about it.
The hope, of course, is that the military has the technology to defend us from these enemies, that somehow America will maintain its status as the largest empire on earth because we've got technology, we've got scientific technology that will save us. And friends, I'm going to bet on the fact that the technology we think will save us will destroy us. So don't you go putting your trust in princes, horses, or even military technology. There's a God in the heavens, and you better be on the right side of this God in the heavens, or you're going to be in trouble. I mean, that point's been made time and time and time again throughout history. If you miss that, man, you're not a Christian. I mean, you have no absolutely no trust whatsoever in God's revelation. Dave, even in the Old Testament, God held some of these nations to account. I mean, he did not let Sodom and Gomorrah to get away with sexual immorality forever and ever and ever. Certainly didn't let Israel and Judah get away with it. But he didn't let Moab and Ammon and Edom and Tyre and Sidon, but which, by the way, was known for its sexual indiscretions. He didn't let these nations get away with this stuff for very long. Certainly didn't let the Greek Empire get away with it for long. The Greek Empire, I don't think lasted more than what, like 40 years? Maybe 100 years, but it did not last very long. The Greek Empire was gone, displaced by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire tried to address the issue of homosexuality in the 2nd century, the 3rd century, the 4th century. It tried to stop it from time to time, but had a hard time until you made it into the 4th and 5th centuries, and then it was pretty much gone forever until it arose again in the 1700s, thanks to men like Jeremy Bentham, who encouraged homosexuality and others of the modern humanists. Walt Whitman and some of the literary giants of the 19th century, Nathaniel Hawthorne, had some positive comments about it. Even William Shakespeare had some closet comments about homosexuality as well in some of his poetry.
Well, we know that homosexuality has always been the death, always, by the way, always in history, has been the death of a society and the death of a culture. And as America embraces homosexuality, it isn't that it's just affecting your marriage. That's what homosexuals like to say. You know, how does our union, our coupling affect your marriage, as if that had to have a direct correlation? What it does is destroys the land. God says that homosexuality destroys the nations and destroys the land. The whole school bus, the whole bus is crashing.
We're assuming, of course, that God still pays attention. We're assuming, of course, that he cares about nations. We're assuming, of course, in Acts 17, when Paul said he commands all nations everywhere to repent, that he's still interested in what nations are doing. And if he was interested in what was Sodom and Gomorrah was doing in the Old Testament, and what Edom and Egypt and Moab and Babylon and Assyria was doing in the Old Testament, if he was concerned that that some of these kings in Assyria and Babylon were a little too proud in Old Testament, and he put Nebuchadnezzar out to pasture for a while and then took the kingdom away from Belshazzar when Daniel got up there and saw the writing on the wall, if God is still concerned about the largest empires on earth in B.C., 400, 500, and 600, then I would think that God would still be a little concerned about some of the nations in the present day as well. Dave, I know there are those two kingdom folks that would disagree with what we're saying here, but, you know, he's the same God, isn't he?
He is the same God. I mean, it's the same law, yeah. And he requires the same worship. You know, all things exist in Christ, for Christ, by Christ, and to Christ. And this is a very important thing, that the reason Iran exists is for Christ. That's why they exist.
Dave, I was looking at the Boy Scout story that we covered a couple weeks ago. You remember the Boy Scouts have stood up strong against allowing NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, into the Boy Scouts. And I think they've taken a good position on this. They actually, I think they've drawn the line even a little more conservative than that. They just, plain old fashioned, don't want homosexuals doing what homosexuals like to do in the Boy Scouts.
Well, so
they just don't like that. They just say, we just are not for this. They've gotten a lot of flack from Barack Obama and Mitt Romney.
But here's the deal, Kevin, is if you condemn the Boy Scouts, you better applaud Penn State.
Yeah.
The Boy Scouts are doing what Penn State didn't do.
Right, right. Exactly. But Mitt Romney, Dave, Mitt Romney has joined with Barack Obama in condemning the Boy Scouts for their position. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Just read that story a couple days ago. So, friends, Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, a dime's worth of difference to somebody? A dime's worth of difference? Anybody? A dime's worth of difference? Somebody? Somebody write an email into host@kevinswanson.com and you tell me there's a dime's worth of difference. You tell me there's a... You know what they're going to say? Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan, yeah. That's what they're going to say.
That's the difference between a Muslim fascist and a Mormon socialist is Paul Ryan?
Pretty much, yeah. Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, who's Paul Ryan? Paul Ryan's a conservative pro-lifer, apparently conservative when it comes to taxes, too. Don't know what his position on homosexuality is. But Paul Ryan is running for vice president of the United States on the ticket with Mitt Romney. Of course, what's the vice president do? You know, the vice president has never really sweetened the deal for me. I know it's supposed to sweeten the deal, but it never really has much sweetened the deal for me. How about you, Dave? Would you vote for this guy, Mitt Romney, because he's got Paul Ryan running side by side with him on the ticket?
No. What you have to understand is...
You're betting on the fact. You're betting on the fact that Mitt Romney will be assassinated. And I just don't think that's the right way to vote. Do you?
Hoping that God will kill your leaders?
Yeah, you don't vote hoping that Mitt Romney will keel over.
No, you don't.
You don't vote on that. Come on. Who votes on that?
Kevin, in political history, from the beginning of the 1900s, the choice of the vice president wasn't always about getting elected as much as it was silencing your foes. In 1900, there was an election. William McKinley was elected to a second term in office. Turned out that there was this guy in Congress from the state of New York who was very mouthy and was creating all kinds of problems for him of the same party. His name was Teddy Roosevelt. McKinley chose Teddy Roosevelt to be his vice president his second term so that he could shut him up because he understood that the vice president basically goes around and cuts ribbons. Now, McKinley didn't bank on the fact that he was going to die in the first month of office, and then we got President Theodore Roosevelt, who, you know, the reforms that he brings with him. I think this is the same thing that's happening here. Romney understands that Romney wants to spend a lot of money as president. He does not want to make difficult decisions. Paul Ryan is chairman of the Congressional Budget Committee. He generates budgets that are balanced. Now, I don't think he is a strong conservative. Don't misunderstand me. Just because he is generating budgets that are supposed to balance the budget some number of years out,
so
and they're very conservative.
What you're saying is they're going to disarm him in what he does best.
They're going to silence him
in order to put him into the ribbon cutting committee of the administration.
Right. You're taking a guy where he could be effective.
Right.
Where he is very effective
now. Sure.
But the problem is he will be effective against the goals of Mitt Romney.
Right.
Mitt Romney does not want to cut Social Security.
He's proven that again and again and again. And I don't think he's even promised any cuts of any sorts. And even if he did, he's broken his word 6 million times. So nobody really trusts him, as far as I know. Somebody who's shifted his position from pro-life to pro-abortion 5-6 times in the last 25 years is not somebody to be trusted when it comes to running for president of the United States.
And neither is Ryan to be trusted because Ryan voted for the TARPA bailout. He voted for Obama's big bailout. He has voted for every big government spending bill that ever came his way. The guy votes for big bills. Now we say he's a conservative. Well, he doesn't vote like a conservative. He just generates budgets that make Obama look bad. That's all he does.
Okay, my friend, so here we are trying to chronicle the decline of the empire, and we're trying to figure out who needs to be president, that is the overseer of the dissemination of the empire. And, you know, if you're going to choose the wrecking ball and the guy who oversees the wrecking balls for pulling down the great empire that used to be the United States of America, I guess you can go to the polls and figure out who needs to be in charge of dismantling the empire. That's okay. If you're into electing the guy in charge of dismantling the American empire Okay, that's fine. But I don't care. I don't care. When it comes down to it, friends, these guys aren't going to reconstruct the empire. They've got to reconstruct basic foundations upon which to establish a godly republic. They're not going to defend any freedoms. They're not going to decrease the size of government. They're not going to do anything to bring back an honest money system. They're not going to do anything to save babies in this nation. They're not going to do anything to stave off the curse of homosexuality, which inevitably is going to be the dry rot that destroys our civilization. They're not going to be able to do any of that. So why waste your time? Why waste your votes on people going to just gonna argue over whether we're going to go into $20 trillion of debt or $19.6 trillion of debt over the next 4 years? Who cares if it's 19.6 or 20? Who cares? Who gives a rip? I don't.
Well, Kevin, we're told that we're supposed to vote for the lesser of two evils. The problem is we have two real evils. You're asked whether or not you're going to vote for Moloch or you're going to vote for Ashtoreth. You know, they're both evil. They're both wicked. You shall serve no other gods. There's one god that you're going to serve, and he's not on the ticket. Neither is any of his supporters. We have a Mormon that we're supposed to get excited about, who denies the basic God that we call Yahweh, who denies the two natures of Christ, who denies the redemption purchased in Christ. This is not a man who believes in Yahweh or his law. We're told that if we don't vote for Republican, we're going to leave the judgeships up to the Democrats, and they only pick evil guys. And I say, like, evil guys like John Roberts, right, who can find anything as a tax. I predict, Kevin, that euthanasia will come, and John Roberts will justify it, Chief Justice John Roberts will justify it as a tax on the years of your life, and therefore it is within Congress's purview to take away years of your life as a tax.
Dave,
that's where we're at.
Dave, before we take a break, let me ask you this. Does it bother you that your opinion or my opinion makes up 0.1% of the conservative Christian vote in this country? I mean, you know, and that's going to be one of the arguments. Like, okay, all right. It can't be that bad. And you guys, man, alive, you're talking about this election as if, you know, you can't go for the better of two evils, and your candidate's probably only going to, whoever you would vote for, would only pull together 0.1% of the vote anyway. So you guys are so marginalized, you're nobodies. I mean, here you are, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, broadcasting out in the middle of Nebraska somewhere, and you think that somehow you're going to make an impact on this nation's future? I mean, you know what David Barton would say to us? Guys are irrelevant. You guys are irrelevant, irrelevant, irrelevant. What in the world are you trying to do? Are you taking away, you know, a little 0.1, 0.2% of the vote that would maybe knock Mitt Romney into the president of the United States? I mean, come on. Does it ever bother you? Marginalized, Dave? I mean, you are pretty marginalized. you oppose homosexuality. I mean, that's marginal. Yeah, it's really marginal. That's extremely marginal. You know the rest of the nation is going the other direction on this. You know that's where it's going. You know that 60-70% of those people who are under 30 years of age are pro-homosexual. And they're pro-homosexual marriage. And you know, those who have a master's degree and those who have been educated and those who are the younger ones in this country are typically very, very much in favor of socialism, evolution, and homosexuality. So, you see, you're really swimming against the stream. There's no way you're going to win within the next 30 to 40 years.
Oh, Kevin, see, I would be so discouraged. I'd be so bothered, except that I'm a Christian. And see, as a Christian, I believe that the God of the universe is sovereign. I think it's way more important to obey the God of the universe than to become popular. I look at some of the characters that God has written about in his word. I look at somebody like Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't sway anyone. You realize in the whole ministry of Jeremiah, in his whole life, he didn't sway anyone.
He never got much of a following.
He was so marginalized. He was just the 0.01%. You know what? He is a hero of the faith, and he will be that for eternity. You say we can't win. I got a newsflash for you. We can't lose. The gates of hell will not prevail against the Church of Christ. God's saints will be glorified. He's letting this thing play out, this little drama on earth, exactly the way he wants. The question is, will I be on his side, or will I be against him? Will I be on the side of the populace and the people, let me just call that the wide path, or will I walk on the narrow path that few find?
And friends, I mean, you got to get a long-term perspective. I know this is very difficult in a short-term existentialistic age where everybody's so myopic, all they can think about is satisfying find themselves, and they could care less about their children, their grandchildren, and they'll spend their great-grandchildren into debt, and they could care less what happens in the year 2060. Well, not so with me. In the next 40, 50 years, friends, you're going to find out the socialists are going to run out of other people's money, and homosexuals are going to run out of a progeny, that is, children and grandchildren, because they won't have any. Homosexuals will be gone. Will be gone, gone, gone. Socialists will be gone because they've run out of other people's money. At some point, it's over, friends. It's over. There's nothing left. The socialists are gone. Mitt Romney's are gone, gone, gone. So are Barack Obama's. And so are the pro-homosexual 70, 80, 90% of the population. Gone, 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 gone. That's going to be gone within 30, 40 years. The society is going to burn out. And then you've got to reform society on new foundations. Hey, you're going to have some kind of civilization in years to come if Christ tarries. And we're the ones. We're the ones establishing the foundations, the concrete that's going to really provide some kind of a foundation for the year 2050, 2060, 2070. And what we encourage is that you get back to some of the foundation stones of this nation, because this nation has some of the best beginnings of any nation whatsoever. Hey, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the committed Christians who understood God's laws and did their best to form the foundations of this nation has something going. Now, granted, the bad guys have taken away from us since roughly the 1860s, 1870s. Okay, that's happened. Okay, the Marxists that came out of the 1840s and 1850s, they pretty much took over by about the 1920s. We know that. We know that. We know that the ideologies of the Jeremy Benthams of the world have taken over. And you know, their view of ethics, their view of homosexuality pretty much dominates it. We understand that. But they've only got about a 200-year run on this thing, and it's about over. It's just about over. So, hey, forget about what's going on in the next 4 years. Pay attention to what's going on in the next 40 years. That's what matters. Now, we're going to also talk about what goes on in the local races for commissioner, for city council. These are the important races. We're talking about that next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you here from our family camp out in the western area of Nebraska, where we're just enjoying a time with families from all over the country. And Dave Buhner also here in studio as we continue to chronicle what's going on the federal level, but also on the local level. Dave, it surprises me that Americans embrace tyranny, even on the local level. Everywhere you look, they're embracing tyranny. They absolutely love to be tyrannized. The story from FoxNews.com, actually a couple stories from FoxNews.com, because there are a few conservatives left in America that are concerned about local tyranny, as well as the federal and international tyranny that is constantly being imposed upon us from these massive centralized systems. And here in Virginia, pitchfork-wielding Virginia farmers rallied to support a woman who claims local officials came down on her for, among other things, hosting a child's birthday party on her spread. She had 70 acres.
That's outrageous. A child's birthday party?
That's
they still
right.
do that?
They do still do birthday parties. Yeah, apparently she did it without a license, though. And that was a huge problem. In the northern village of Paris, Virginia, she's threatened with $5,000 in fines for selling produce, crafts, and throwing unlicensed events, including a birthday party for her best friend's child. Dave, I mean, you know, people have been doing crafts and selling stuff from farms for about 6,000 years until the local bureaucrats showed up in the last 40, 50 years. Dave, these local planning commissions and city councils and county commissions are some of the most tyrannical, wicked people I think I've ever met. They just love to tyrannize the populace. Far worse than anybody's ever done. Even some of the worst tyrants you could ever imagine. These tyrants will control every little aspect of a family economy on some of these properties. And this woman had 70 acres. It wasn't as if, you know, she was bothering her neighbors. She was just doing some buying and selling, which people have been doing for hundreds, if not thousands of years. I mean, yeah, thousands of years. This is nuts. And here's another story. I mean, just somewhat related. A little child somewhere, this is FoxNews.com, Connecticut. This girl had a 20-pound rabbit, just a pet rabbit, North Haven.
20-pound rabbit? That's a big rabbit.
The rabbit's about as big as she is. I mean, you know, she's holding the thing. It's very cute rabbit.
Rabbit's the size of a golden retriever.
Yeah, it's huge, yeah. Exactly. Well, anyway, she's in trouble. She's in trouble.
For having too fat a rabbit?
Just having a rabbit.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know why 20 pounds is important here, except that the picture of the rabbit, it's humongous. Very, very cute rabbit. But the zoning enforcement officer, Arthur Tyrant Houseman, his middle name Tyrant, this turns out.
No.
Yeah, it's amazing.
No.
Amazing. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Arthur Houseman issued a cease and desist order to the Lidsky family 2 weeks ago, informing them that they were violating town zoning regulations because their property was smaller than 2 acres required to keep rabbits and other types of livestock. Listen, Arthur Houseman should get a life. Arthur Houseman should get a life. This kind of tyranny is wicked, friends. This is worse than as bad as what Ahab was doing when Ahab tried to confiscate Naboth's vineyard. And this guy's going against the only possession of a 7-year-old girl. This guy should be run out of town. He should be tarred and feathered, and he should never, ever come back to North Haven. Arthur Houseman should never, ever come back to North Haven. He should go somewhere else. These local tyrants drive me nuts. And these people, apparently 1,800 people, have signed an online petition demanding that town officials allow Caden Litsky to keep her 3-year-old Flemish giant rabbit named Sandy.
Sandy.
I don't want the bunny to go, Caden said, according to the petition on change.org. She's not a mean buddy. She doesn't bite people. She only licks.
Yeah, she's just a 7-year-old girl.
Which makes her nicer than the local town.
That's
council.
For sure, because he does more than lick. I mean, this guy is a tyrant. Friends, it's time for people to stand up and say, these people are tyranny. These people constitute tyranny, and they ought to be stood against. Listen, don't vote for these people. Would you please, if you vote for the committee, I don't care who you vote for President of the United States, but at the very least, would you stop voting for local petty tyrants? Would somebody out there please stop voting for the local petty tyrants? And for people who put together planning commissions that do nutty, stupid things like this. Friends, this is a violation of property rights on the most basic, basic level. And it ought to be eliminated in all our local city councils and planning commissions around this country.
But, Kevin, people love tyranny.
I know they do, but they need to get rid of it. But when it comes down to it, when a little girl is finally tyrannized, everybody suddenly wakes up and realizes this is stupid. I think eventually people understand that this socialist idea that local planning commissions have got to control what everybody does with their property is just plain old-fashioned tyranny. Our founding fathers would never... Dave would never, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, George Washington would never put up with this. Never. They would never put up with these planning commissions. These people are evil. These people are just plain evil. People who put together these planning commissions and these county commissions that put together zoning that eliminates the possibility of people doing what they want with their own property is just plain evil. It's wrong, friends. And it's time for somebody to wake up and say, we have got to at least get a little bitty, bitty bit of freedom going on in our own little county or our own little town. I mean, Dave, at the very least, can we revolt against our local tyrants? Can we at least start raising up some local commissioners or DAs or sheriff deputies who have a lick of sense to protect a little liberty here and there for a little gal, 70 years of age, who wants her 20-pound rabbit as a pet?
Actually, we can't, Kevin, and here's why.
Why not?
John Adams, the founding of this country, was asked what kind of government we have. And he said it was a republic, and he said it was a republic that was fit only for a religious and a moral people. It's unfit for any other. You look around the country, people want to move into a neighborhood that has a homeowners association, a local government. And these homeowners associations have architectural committees, a bureaucracy of the local government that tells you what kind of car you can park out front, or if you can park out front, tells you what color of house you can have. We love to control our neighbor's property. It's a violation, I believe, of thou shalt not steal, because if you don't have control of your property, you really don't have property. We love this. We do it at the very local level. We do it at the city level. We do it at the county level. We do it at the national level. We love to tell everybody else what they have to do with their property in order to make our life a little better. You know, I would love to drive on roads that other people paid for and don't use.
But
that's their money.
David, is there a moral person left in America? Are there a few moral families left who are raising their children to be moral, to fight for liberty, at least in one little tiny township somewhere in the United States? One township in the United States? Could we have, say, some homeschool families raising up local sheriffs and local commissioners and DAs among our children to defend just a tiny bit of liberty for godly, God-fearing, moral people who want to have rabbits for their seven-year-old? Can we raise up somebody who cares enough about morality, enough about liberty, to defend a little tiny bit of liberty somewhere in America? Can we do this, ladies and gentlemen? Can we do this? Police officers, do you have to go after the good guys all the time? All the local tyranny? Do we have to have it all the time? Little commissioners and little bureaucrats that run around and check to see if somebody's having a birthday party in their 70 acres, could you go home? Could you not do that? Could you focus on trying to arrest a rapist for once? Could you stop tyrannizing innocent citizens, please? There are people that rape and steal and rob banks. Could you put your resources into going after them, please? And stop going after innocent citizens for once? And by the way, could you stop having innocent citizens pay for prisons? That's bogus, too. That's ridiculous. That's unbiblical to the core. Could you get some sense? Could somebody out there get some sense and just be rational for a moment? And let the bad guys go to work and pay off what they stole? I mean, Dave, what it comes down to here is people have abandoned God's laws. And because they've abandoned God's laws, we just have to deal with irrationality and people confiscating 20-pound rabbits from seven-year-olds.
They were not grateful and they would not glorify God. And God turned them over to a depraved mind. And that's what happens. That's why you end up, like we talked about a previous program, the government says it owns all the water that falls on your property. And yet they own the snow and the rain, but yet they won't come and shovel it. Come on, that's crazy. We know that's crazy. We know that's wrong. How can they own my snow if they won't take care of my snow, if they'll come and sue me if I don't shovel my sidewalk? Look, either I own something or I don't own something, and right now you don't own anything. You don't own your land that your house is sitting on. I know you don't have a mortgage, Kevin, but you don't own your house, because if you fail to pay your property tax, they take the house, the structure, and everything in it. You have to pay your rent to the civil magistrate. And I have this theory. It's weird. The earth is the Lord's. That's my theory. The earth is the Lord's. He owns it. He's the only one who can tax me for it.
How do you like tyranny, friends? How do you like being enslaved? I don't think very many people like that. And when you get all these petitions and you get these pitchfork-wielding farmers coming down to the farm in Virginia just to try to protest a little bit, I think we could probably pull together more pitchforks. Honestly, I think there are more pitchforks in America, Dave. I think, you know, we've been a little negative on this program. I actually do believe that there are probably tens of thousands of pitchforks left in America. And we could have local revolts against the tyranny and dump out these tyrants, these commissioners that don't understand the basic right of property ownership and control on the part of individual moms and dads and little kids who own 7-pound rabbits. And we need to pull these people together, and I think we could probably defend a little freedom in a county, in a city, in a little township here and there across America. I think we could. I think people, as FoxNews.com, I think there are people out there who are upset with this kind of tyranny. Obviously FoxNews.com is, and FoxNews.com is a little bit more mainstream than I am. So I think there are some people out there to understand what we're saying today, and they understand there is some irrationality to our systems out there, and we need to get some rational systems together and probably read our founders and begin to establish local governments. Forget the federal government. It's a lost cause. Federal government's a lost cause.
You think you'd save the federal government, David Barton, and everybody else that seems to be so concerned about the Republicans recapturing the Congress? I'm sorry, but it's pretty much too late. Your best shot is to get a decent county sheriff and some decent commissioners together who have a lick of sense and a little rationality and will defend the freedom of a 7-year-old to own her big, fat, 20-pound rabbit as a pet. He just slicks. He doesn't bite. Okay? He just licks.
Thank you, Dave. Dave Buhner providing the audio effects. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations broadcast. It's a great vision, don't you think? I mean, guys, are you listening? It's a great vision. A vision for liberty. For liberty. To own a rabbit. It's a great vision. Let's go with it. And I talk about this vision in my book, The Second Mayflower. You know, it's the principles upon which the nation was founded, and I think we can get another shot at it. But it's going to happen in the grassroots. It's going to happen with the tens of thousands of people that listen to this program and pull together and start establishing some godly communities around this country. It's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. We sell enough books. We make it to about 100,000 books. We're done. And my job's done. It's the beginning is done, and we're going to be having the foundations established for the Second Mayflower, and after that, it's just our children and grandchildren wrapping up the project. Okay, friends, the project is summarized in my book, The Second Mayflower. Be sure to get a copy of it. It pretty much synopsizes the direction we need to go. It's not rocket science, friends. It's been done before. The first Mayflower, remember, America? It can be done one more time. It's called The Second Mayflower. The book is available at my website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.